Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Louise Crooks, your Key Security Coach on KTC Radio. I'm very happy to be talking to you today about this wonderful topic, which is de-stressing your marketing experience. And we're going to be looking at that from the point of view of understanding how our story can create the focus of who we're working with and what that looks like. And we're going to be talking today with the fabulous Lisa Bloom, the story coach, who really is amazing at helping us understand how to use our story not only in our coaching but also from the point of view of how we who we connect with as our clients. And so we will be waiting. We were just waiting for Lisa to come onto the line. I think she's here, and then we'll get going with the show. So just bear with me a sec. Hi, Lisa. Is that you?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome back to the show. So I just wanted to make sure you are on the line, and we're just about to introduce the show, and we can tell them all about you as well. So I'm so glad that you're here.
I'm here. Great. Sorry, I tried to get a few minutes early, so sorry about that.
That's okay. No worries. I knew you were on another call, so that's fine. So just another warm welcome to our guests and to our audience, and, of course, to our guest, Lisa, as well. For those of you who are not familiar with Keys to Clarity Radio, this is a radio that was formed in 2008 to support you, the soul-driven business owner, to to help serve your clients in a bigger, bolder way, to help you to become successful in your business by addressing many different aspects of your business through the topics and the fabulous guests that we've had on the show, the likes of Ali Brown, Marsha Weider, Michael Port, just to name a few. And we'll be adding Lisa Bloom to that list today. And really just supporting you in not just business topics, but also topics that help from a personal and spiritual development standpoint. I truly believe that we bring all of ourselves to our business to to do what we're doing in the world and to serve and help and transform our clients. It's important that we take care of all of those pieces. If you are new to the show, feel free to scroll through the archives and see what topics pique your interest, and if you have a favorite leader of your community, there's a good chance they might have been on the show. So feel free to have a look and see if there's something that really resonates with you or an area of your business that you need support in. Good chance that we've covered that on the show. And if you'd like an update of what's coming up each Wednesday, you feel free to go to keystoclarity.com. And if you sign up for the little report on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see my face and then a little opt-in box underneath. You'll also get an update each Wednesday morning letting you know who's going to be on the show and what topic we're covering. So you can decide that day if that's of interest to you. And at the same time, you'll get the free report, which is the 5 critical mistakes that coaches and holistic practitioners make when they're starting out and how to avoid them. All right, so I'd love to introduce our guest, Lisa. Again, hi, Lisa. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi. Great to be here.
Wonderful to have you here as well. So I'm just going to just share a little bit of your background, Lisa, with our listeners so that they know who you are and what you're bringing to our conversation today. And I'm excited because Lisa Bloom, I've been connected with her for a while on Facebook, and we've connected before, but we got to meet at the ICF conference and at the Coach's Edge, and it was really great to see Lisa in action. She did a presentation, like I got to see her doing that, and she was one of the most riveting speakers in the room, and part of that was because of what she brings to, speaking and to her, how we present ourselves, and it's all about what she's about, which is being a story coach. And it was just so powerful. I felt compelled to share her gifts and talents with you and for you to get an opportunity to really to get a sense of what's possible when we look at your story. So Lisa Bloom is the founder of Story Coach Inc., and she helps coaches and business owners beat overwhelm, stress, discomfort with marketing, find confidence, attract ideal clients, and make more money by finding their success story. I think we very much align, Lisa. And Lisa is a professional storyteller, and there's absolute truth in that because I've seen her do that. And she's an accredited coach and has discovered a unique and innovative approach to coaching by using storytelling. And I think it's powerful in any modality, you know, where you're creating transformation. So, you know, listen up and really hear what Lisa's going to be sharing today. So Lisa's groundbreaking techniques have enabled her to grow her business and take to the stage where she regularly speaks internationally about this amazing approach to business and coaching. And, of course, I just mentioned, you know, her recent engagements included the ICF Global and European conferences and the Coach's Edge. Lisa actually lives in Israel, so she's calling in from Israel today, and she lives there with her partner, their four sons, and it sounds like you have a puppy as well, Lisa. You must have a very busy life. And what I love about Lisa as well, she has this beautiful, lilting Irish accent coming from Ireland, of course. So I'm sure that helps with the storytelling, Lisa.
Absolutely.
So today we're talking about discovering the key to distressing your marketing experience. So we're going to dive into, you know, how our story, you know, which we always remember, is the compelling part of the core of every successful business. So we're going to dive into that in a moment. For those of you who are listening to the show and are really excited about the information that Lisa is sharing, I'd love for you to share about the show on Twitter. If you use the hashtag KTC Radio on Twitter and use the URL budurl.com/destressed, and as usual, all URLs start with http://, and then budurl.com/destressed. So that will bring people to the show via the web. I really encourage you to do that. And if you're listening and want to interact and share your comments and questions, feel free to go to our chat room. If you're on the web, you'll see a light button there that says chat, and you can click on that and come and join us in the chat room as well. And you're very welcome to post your comments and questions. If you're in the chat room and you want to use that function, please register with Blog Talk Radio. Get your username and then come back. You can't actually interact if you're just a guest in the chat room. Okay. And we would love to see your comments in there. I see lots of people listening already. Great. All right. I'm excited. This is such a fabulous topic, Lisa, and it's something that I'm coaching my clients on all the time. So I'm just excited that we're going to be diving into this so beautifully today, and you being the quintessential story coach are, you know, the expert in this, and I'm just really excited to have you talk about this today. So let's start with just asking you, Lisa, how you came to be the story coach.
Sure. The truth is I never actually call myself the story coach. I always say that I'm a story coach because I just think it's such a phenomenal way to coach that, you know, my vision is that everybody will be a story coach. But how did I come about it? My background is in training and development, and I always loved, you know, as a training and development manager, I liked all parts of adult learning. But what I really loved was getting into the classroom and kind of seeing the bright eyes when an adult learns something new, which often surprises them that, you know, this learning happens. But what I noticed was I was working in corporations and I was teaching whatever I needed to teach because whatever was on the agenda, some of which was material that may have been developed centralized by, you know, by the centralized training people. And I may have had some input in what I was delivering, but oftentimes I didn't have a lot of input. And sometimes it wasn't enormously inspiring. You know, I just had to deliver what I had to deliver. And what I found was that I would tell stories because I suppose that's what I've always done, and more so to amuse myself than anything else at the outset. But what I found when I told a story was that something really magical seemed to happen in the room. And I was quite surprised because it was very obvious. Suddenly something shifted, the energy changed, and people became much more engaged. I mean, it was just entirely different. And what happened was not only were people more engaged and more attentive, but they were communicating with each other and with me in a much different way. And they were really retaining, they seemed to be really retaining the information in a different way as well. So I stopped kind of making it up on the spot, and I started really, really kind of planning for the stories and weaving the learning through the stories. So when I left, then I left corporate, but for personal reasons, I'd kind of done my time in that environment and I wanted to do something else, and I went into coaching. I started seeing how coaching was so related to, or storytelling was so related to the core coaching competencies, and everything I could do through coaching had more meaning when I did it with stories. And so that's really where story coaching came from. And not only did I notice that, but I noticed that stories were everywhere, that you know, that there's a real revival happening, and that stories, people are recognizing the power of story in lots of different ways and lots of different industries, lots of different professions now. So it's really fascinating.
That's wonderful. What a great discovery, because it is truly powerful, isn't it? And just seeing you in action was just amazing, because it just hit home, you know, how powerful it is. I know I don't use the tool of stories enough, you know, just from a coaching perspective. But, you know, when I use an analogy or something, I know how powerful it is when people really, you know, get it in that way.
Well, it was interesting, actually, because I just had a client of mine send me an email last week, and she had done a workshop. It wasn't really a workshop. It was more addressing an audience, and it was within a larger conference, so people were kind of coming and going. And she said that she had decided to just go for it and tell a story, and she told this wonderful kind of folk tale that she'd been working on. And she said, "Lisa, you know, I'd never have believed it. I know you've been telling me this for weeks, but it was just incredible. People were suddenly so engaged, and they stopped moving away, and they started listening, and they started signing up for more information, and, you know, completely transformational for her." And that's what happens. It's just amazing. I mean, you've seen it. When you hear a story, it's just a whole different space. And the effect you have is phenomenal. And that's just telling like a fairy tale. I mean, wait till you start telling your own story. Yeah. Then you see real, really amazing stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be helpful, Lisa, just for you to give us a definition of what actually story coaching is, just so that we can get a sense of what that looks like as we delve further into this. Because it sounds like they're two different types of stories from what you're implying.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't really have a one-line definition, but what I can tell you is that there is kind of two parts to this. One is based on a very simple realization that I had, which is that really we're all storytellers, and we are all telling the stories of our life all the time. So it may be, you know, how you came to this radio show, and it might be how you were who you had dinner with last night, or it might be about how you met your partner. But these are stories that we're all constantly telling all the time. And what happens is that these stories are completely and utterly subjective. I mean, we choose everything about them. And in a sense, it's the stories that really define our reality. So I started, you know, I'm sure you're familiar, we're all familiar with the person who comes to dinner who tells the same old story again and again, and you've heard it a million times, and I started wondering, you know, why do people get stuck in their stories, and what do these stories mean? So story coaching was really born out of the idea that if we look at the stories that we're telling, and if we look at the stories that our clients are telling in coaching, then we really have a key to a huge amount of information. And if we start not necessarily rewriting, but we examine whether the stories are serving us, because very often our stories that we tell all the time actually don't serve us very well. So when we start looking at these stories and examining how they're serving us and if they're doing us well at all, then we can start changing them. And when I say changing them, I don't mean rewriting history. I mean looking at how we can tell our stories in a more empowering way. Now, the other side to story coaching, which I think is really fascinating, and particularly probably to your listeners, is this idea that when we can tell a compelling story about what we do, about our work. You know, I've noticed that so many talented people, fantastic at what they do, and they just can't talk about it. They just really get stuck. When people say, so what exactly do you do, or you know, what's your business about, they start almost stuttering. I mean, they really get to the point where they're just not at all able to eloquently articulate what it is they do. So I help people really pinpoint what their story is and how that connects to what they do so that they can show up in a whole different way. And then it becomes much easier to talk about it, and it becomes much easier to market yourself because you're just telling your story.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing as well, Lisa, is that the idea of whether the story is serving you is, because I think that we also, as coaches and people in the field of healing and transformation, know how people get stuck in their story. And it goes beyond that, doesn't it? It's about how a story is going to uplift and support and clarify what it is that you're doing in this world rather than be pulling you down and back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the bottom line really is that people love to hear stories. And when you start telling a story, whether it's a personal story or a fairy tale or any type of anecdote, but when you start telling a story, you get a whole different way of listening and a whole different level of engagement. So if people ask you what you do and you spout out some kind of one-liner that you've practiced a million times that you didn't even believe when you wrote it, then people immediately turn off. They sense your lack of connection to what it is you're saying. But if you can talk about what you do in a way that is really compelling and it's really connected to you, it's really your story, it's really who you are and how you show up, then that makes a fantastic connection with people. And they feel it immediately, and it that you know goes in lots of different directions. It really, really works fantastically well.
Fabulous. Well, it sounds like there's a little bit of getting a little vulnerable, you know, with this. You know, what do you think about that, Lisa? Because I'm assuming that you know, if we're telling our story, that often that can be uncomfortable for a lot of people.
Well, here's the thing. When I work with people to find their story, to discover their story, I always say, you know, part of the discovery process is really just getting out the story. Now, that doesn't mean you have to tell all of it. So part of telling your story well is telling the parts that you feel are empowering, and they're easy to tell, and the parts that make you feel vulnerable are actually the ones you don't tell. And I have a great example of this. I actually had a pretty senior person, actually a really good friend and colleague of mine who's a very, very experienced coach and really leader in his field. And he approached me a few months ago and he said, you know, I have this event and I have to kind of tell my story. I have to introduce myself. And I immediately thought of you and I wondered, could you just give me an idea of how I should go about this? And this guy, I mean, he's done a million addresses and so on. And so I said to him, well, what were you thinking of saying? You know, why don't you just tell me your story? So he went into this 20-minute story that I could tell made him feel unbelievably uncomfortable.
Right.
And it was all very true, but it wasn't the parts of the story that empowered him. So I kind of stopped him and I said, okay, what we need to do is we need to condense the 20 minutes into about 4 minutes. And we need to tell your story from a point of empowerment. So let's look at these challenges. Let's look at the things that you've come through. Let's look at the areas that were most painful, but not from the point of the pain and the challenge, but from the point of, you know, how you got through it and what empowered you and what the learning was. And when you tell it from that perspective, then it's easy to tell because it was your true experience, but it also makes you feel great. It makes you feel like you can really stand behind it, and it allows people to connect because it is a personal story and it's true, it's authentic, and it's the authenticity that really helps people connect.
Yeah.
So in a sense, what I'm talking about here, I'm not talking about the traditional salesy marketing stories that will make people buy. I'm not talking about, you know, the types of stories that, in a sense, trick people to want a product or something like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about showing up in your own authentic story in the way that best shows up who you are and what you do and what your greatest gift is to the world and what you're here for. And when you can talk from that perspective and tell your story in that way, you really don't have to chase clients so much anymore because they find you, because they're compelled and they connect with you.
Yeah. So I think I'd love to hear more, Lisa, and I'm sure that our listeners would as well, is how this, you know, really, join the dots on how this storytelling is part of defining your niche,
sure,
as we say.
Niche,
but niche as North Americans say.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I want to start by giving you an example. And the example is, let's say I'm a 40-plus woman who wants to get into shape and maybe lose some weight. And I'm looking for somebody who's like a health and fitness or health and wellness expert who's going to either get me trained or, you know, help train me or coach me to that goal. So if I see, you know, a couple of people who are advertising those services, and this happens all the time, you know, you pick up a brochure and you see somebody, or you look on a website and you see somebody who does health and wellness or health and fitness, and they write that they'll work with teens and they'll work with women after pregnancy, and they'll work with women in after retirement, and they also deal with men who are trying to get fit. You know, and it's like all over the place. And then I look at that, and then I look at another website that says to me, okay, I am, you know, hi, my name is Tina, I'm 45 years old, and I battled with obesity for 15 years. But this is my story, and I discovered a way that I could eat healthily, enjoy food, get on a regime that suited my life and my family, and now I've, you know, reduced the weight, I'm fit, and I have maintained it for 15 years or for 10 years. Now, if I read that, I would say, wow, this is me, this is, you know, or this is somebody like me, you know, not that I'm giving an example here, but, you know, if this was the issue that I was looking to deal with, and I recognize myself in that, or whether it's looking to market authentically, or whether it's looking to have some kind of exercise and relaxation regime, or whether it was a yoga teacher, or whoever it was, if I can relate to their story, then much more likely that I'm going to give them my business. It's much more likely that I'm going to connect
with them. They're much more credible, aren't they?
Because I feel like, well, hang on a sec, they get me. It's not just somebody who's out there to just get clients. They get me. They understand what my issues are. And the reality is that nobody wants coaching, and nobody wants healing, and nobody wants, I mean, maybe they want healing. They don't want the process. They want the outcome. They want the result.
Yeah.
And they want to work with somebody who has had, who will bring themselves, you know, they don't want to work with a company. They don't want to work with a system. They want to work with a person. Mm. And they want to know who that person is, and they want to be able to have a relationship with them.
Yeah.
And
it's the relating
story,
to the experience that person has had.
Absolutely.
That is connected
to
your own.
Absolutely, makes all the difference. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when I tell the story,
they've been there and understood the experience and the pain and the challenges that you're experiencing.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, the first thing, if I go to, and I can tell you this experience as well, I've practiced yoga for years. It's always been a part of my life, and I love yoga. And I've done all different types of exercise, but yoga has always got a very important place in my heart. And I tried a new yoga class a few years ago with this yoga teacher who could contort herself into amazing positions and do this wonderful stuff, and she looked fabulous. But my experience of being in the class with her was that I felt that I couldn't do it. I had this ongoing feeling that I couldn't do it. And I live in a quite small town, and the following morning, after having this experience, which was pretty uncomfortable, I went to a local cafe and I sat down. And this woman, the yoga teacher, was sitting at the next table, and she was drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes the whole hour I was there. And I just had this disconnect between the story that she showed up as in this yoga class, where she was kind of perfect and everybody else couldn't quite make it to what she was doing, versus this woman who clearly was living a very non-yoga-like existence. And it just, that story just didn't make sense for me. And of course, I never went back to do yoga with this woman. So that's kind of an example of what I'm talking about. When you find your story, and everybody has a story, people say to me sometimes, but I don't really have a story in my business. And I say, well, you do, you just haven't figured it out yet. You know, we all have a story because we've all gone through a certain path in our life that has led us to the point we're at right now doing what we're doing. And when you figure out what that story is and why it's led you to this point and what were the pivotal moments along the way that transformed you so that you're in this moment, and when you start telling that story, it becomes very clear who the people are that you want to work with. It becomes clear that you might be able to do lots of things, but you don't have a passion for everything. The people you really care about, because of your experience, because of your life's journey, because of the people you've met along the way, because of who you've worked with, because of everything, the people you really care about, they're the ones you want to work with, and that just is all about your niche. It's all about who you need to be working with, and it's all connected to your story.
Yeah, very
powerful. So one of the things that I'm very passionate about is the fact that there are so many very talented people who work in, whether it's in, type of holistic healing, coaching, all these helping professions. So many of them are so fantastically good at what they do, and so many of them just are so bad at talking about it and are struggling so much. And there's this horrible, horrible, horrible statistic that says, you know, 1 in 5 succeeds and the other 4 go the wayside and only do it as a hobby. And when I hear that, it just really upsets me because of the journey I've been through, going from corporate and going out on my own and the struggles at the beginning. And, you know, I really care about this. It's part of my story. And that's why it makes it very clear that these are the people I want to work with.
Yeah, powerful, very powerful. And I think part of the issue is that, you know, being such amazing people with a wonderful talent and gift and this desire to really help people, that sometimes it's hard to pull back and pull back from the, I want to help everyone. I want to serve everyone. I don't want to, you know, differentiate myself, you know, because I might miss out on helping someone who needs me. And, you know, that in itself also, you know, can really stop you from working with amazing clients too. So it gets in the way, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And we also all have these stories in ourselves that are part of what limits us. You know, old stories that aren't serving us, the idea that we have to, as if you're a helper, then you have to just help and you shouldn't be paid for it. Or, you know, we've all got money stories, and we've all got these. And part of the story coaching work is actually to uncover those stories and to say, well, you know what, you can be an amazing light to the world and you can come from a place of contribution and giving and support and still be paid well for it and still work with clients that can afford to pay you. You know, for the first few years of my company, of my practice, my company, I think I, because of those types of stories, I attracted people who couldn't afford to pay me. Yeah. And then somewhere along the line, that shifted because the stories changed. And now the people who approach me know that, you know, they're going to pay for the service and they'll pay whatever I ask, pretty much, you know, because the stories change, your self-belief changes, and the way you really, I say market yourself, but it almost doesn't feel like marketing because you're just talking about what it is you're here to do. And you're talking about it from a place that's so much more empowered when you've done this work, when you've come up with the right story, that it's really very different.
Yeah, it's that place of service and sharing and being passionate about what it is that you're talking about. It's you know, as I say to a lot of my clients, when you have that conversation with someone and it's that consultation you're having with them and you're coming from that place and you're very focused in on who they are and their, you know, what their needs are because of the connection to the story, You know, that's them signing up with you is merely a formality.
Yes, and it's also very clear. And what I mean by that is that the people who aren't attracted or compelled by your story, they disengage very quickly.
Yes.
Because you are so clear. And that's what's so wonderful about the story work, is that you discover a lot. You know, it's kind of funny. When I started this work, I was really a little bit naive, and I thought, you know, well, it's just about the story. You know, I'm a storyteller. I love stories, and if you could tell a good story, it'll work, and it'll all be very nice. You know, and I kind of went into it with this very flippant approach, and then my clients started saying to me, well, you know, this is wow. You know, I've discovered my story, and I know my purpose, and I've discovered my niche, and people are finding me, and I realize, wow, this is much deeper than I ever actually imagined. It quite surprised me, actually. But what you said is absolutely true, that you are so much more clear, you're so much more focused, that the discussion, that there isn't any persuasion. The people who engage are fully engaged, and the people
it's
who are not
natural.
Compelled... They're just not there, and that's fine. You know, you're never going to appeal
exactly.
to everybody, and that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that, because I think, you know, what you're sharing, Lisa, is that, you know, you'll find that certain people will disengage because of your clarity, but other people will be very compelled toward, you know, and attracted to you. You know, it'll magnetize the people who are meant to work with you to you.
Yes.
Because of that clarity and that focus.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah,
and you know, at first,
powerful.
I think sometimes it's you get a bit concerned. Well, why is this person disengaged, or why do people come off my list?
Mm.
You know, because we're all when you're list building, and people you send out a story or you send out something, and people come off your list and you think, oh, what have I done wrong? And then you realize, no, this is great. That means that this person who was just not really there anyway has now made a decision, and that decision is that this is not right for them, and that's perfect. That means that they'll never do business with you anyway, but now it's clear because they're gone.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
But what's really...
room for those people who are.
Yeah, absolutely. And what happens is that when you're having these conversations, and when you're engaging with people, when you're talking to people, when you're giving any type of engagement, whether it's speaking, public speaking, workshops, or just a networking event, or just meeting somebody on the street and having a conversation, the way that you show up is entirely different when you've discovered your story, because you're talking from this place of clarity, and you're talking from this place of, yes, this is me, and this is who I am. It's easy to talk about it, because you're the, you know, you're the best storyteller of your life. You were there. Nobody else was there.
Yeah.
So you get to talk about it in the best possible way it can be spoken about. And when you can talk about it, as I say, from this point of this place of empowerment and this really positive approach, then the effect is wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it gives a lot of people a lot of confidence. It suddenly they're clear on their own sweet spot, and it gives them the confidence to talk about it, whereas before it wasn't even clear to them.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I often ask people, you know, people I'm working with, I say to them, so what, well, actually, let me tell you a little story. Quite a few years back, left corporate, retrained before I opened my coaching business, went through coaching education again, and came out, you know, got the full certification, set up my office, got my new computer, got a business card, a website, the whole thing. And I went out with a friend for a coffee one morning, and she said to me, so what would make me hire you? Just out of the blue, she asked this question. She said, what would make me hire you rather than one of these companies that's very well established that have all these PhD, you know, whoevers who are also coaches? You know, why would I hire you instead of them? And I was completely gobsmacked. I mean, I just had nothing to say. I really didn't know the answer. And it terrified me, because I thought, you know, if I don't know how to answer that question, how can I sell, you know, how can I sell my services? How can I talk about what I do? Why would anybody want to work with me? And it really stayed with me for a long time. And it was around the time that I was figuring out this connection between storytelling and coaching, and what I was bringing to it, and this whole methodology. And I could look at it in a whole different way. And when I could answer that question, I knew my business was ready to really take off.
Yeah, and you got clear on your own story.
I got clear on my own story. Because here I was teaching something and not applying it to myself.
Yeah.
So the minute I could answer, and I kind of hummed and hawed, and I gave her some kind of an answer, and then we changed the I changed the subject, I think, just to get away from it. But I realize now, in retrospect, it was a great moment, because very often, you know, one of the questions I'll ask people that I meet or that I'm working with or that are interested in working with me, I'll say to them, well, what is it that you offer that's different from everybody else who does what you do?
Yeah.
And very often there's silence. They don't know. They know they're good at what they do, and they know that they love what they do, but they don't know how to articulate what it is that's really special about what they do, because very often I think we come from childhoods or homes or traditions or cultures that say that, you know, don't talk too much. If you're boasting if you talk about how brilliant you are. You know, you're boasting if you focus on your strengths. But when you're in this kind of a business, you need to be able to tell the story of what you do well. And, you know, I really have discovered an unusual talent for being able to pull out a story from somebody. You know, this is what I was clearly put here on earth to do. I mean, it just makes so much sense now.
Yeah.
I had this amazing experience where I finally, after traveling and living in different countries and different places, finally bought a home and gathered all the boxes of stuff that I had gathered through the years from, you know, from people's attics and people's basements and so on. And I found myself, around the time that I was launching this business, I found myself opening up boxes of books of stories, folklore and fairy tales and mythology and all kinds of books. And it seemed that I had been collecting stories my whole life, and I hadn't even noticed. I mean, I really hadn't noticed. And then I suddenly thought to myself, you know, here I am, I'm a story coach, and I have a degree in English literature. And, it never occurred to me. And I also have an MBA. You know, it never occurred to me that I would do this when I was doing that. But this has been what, you know, so clearly what I was put on earth to do. And everybody has that. Every single person has that one thing that they're put here to do.
Well, it makes a lot of sense that you are here to do that, Lisa, because having heard you tell a story, I know how compelling it is listening to you. So you do have that gift, and it's beautiful that you've also honed it into this piece around helping those two, you know, those people in the helping professions to really clarify, you know, how they can get their message out there and their gift by identifying their story and clarifying that for them. So I'm so excited that you're doing that. Just fabulous. I'd love to hear from you, Lisa, about, because we talked about how this helps to define your niche, but how does it help to differentiate yourself?
Well, it's kind of comes from the same place, this idea that, you know, nobody's story is the same as anybody else's. You may have the same qualifications, and you may have a similar amount of work experience, and you may have a similar approach, process, methodology, but you don't have the same life experience, and you don't have the same combination of everything. Now, again, most people, they'll get whatever qualification they need, whether it's in, you know, a school or a university or life school, whatever it is, and then they'll decide they want to do something, and they'll open up a business, and they'll often put up certificates on the wall, or they'll, you know, write a resume or do some kind of a website with a bio that talks about what certificates or years of experience they have. But they don't talk about their actual story, what they've experienced, what their life experience has taught them. And that's what's different. That's what's different. It's that combination of everything together that really makes them different from other people in their niche. And when they're telling that story, it makes them even more different, because most people don't. So, you know, businesses are beginning to understand the power of story. They're beginning to talk about a product story. They're beginning. I've even heard of companies that have chief storytellers, positions of chief storytellers. And they're not just marketing managers, there's people who really look at the stories of a company. But, you know, people are beginning they're beginning to understand the power of story. But generally speaking, if you take any of the professions of the people on this call, you'll find that the majority of people in these professions are not using their story to differentiate themselves. They're simply, you know, talking about their qualifications or their experience. Or perhaps their vision, you know, something in the future, something that they want to create. They're not really talking about who they are and how they show up. So when you do that, you really, you really differentiate yourself because you come across as being so much more authentic and so much more trustworthy.
And
trustworthy is actually really important. And if I can explain that for a minute, I mean, it's...
Absolutely.
What I've noticed is that over the last, certainly the last 10 years, so much of what we could always trust, we can no longer trust. If you think about it, we used to be able, you know, once upon a time we could trust the government and we could trust the church and we could trust the financial institutions, we could trust the banks and the insurance agents, and we could trust the teachers and we could trust the churches, we could trust the priests and the rabbis, you know. And clearly over the last 10 years, most of this has fallen away and has proven itself to be almost entirely trustworthy. Untrustworthy. You know, we could even trust our personal safety in some countries in the world, and now we can't.
Yeah.
So, and on top of all that, we've got this financial crisis. So what that means is that people are working with a lot less, they want to have a lot more, and they don't know who to trust anymore. And they want to trust. They want to be able to trust before they can release any type, you know, have any sense of investment. And here's the crunch. The beautiful thing is that when you tell a story and it's an authentic story, you generate trust almost instantaneously. So again, if you take two practitioners and one of them is talking about their, you know, their qualifications and their experience, and the other one is talking about their authentic personal story, who are you going to trust? You're going to trust the one that you hear the personal story and you connect with them. You're going to trust them. And when you trust them, you feel the relief of, oh, finally somebody is not going to rip me off. Finally somebody.
And I think part of that, Lisa, is that when someone's talking about their personal story, generally they have, there's a passion that comes with that. They have connected to that from a heart place. Where someone who's just, you know, just rattling off their qualifications and their background and, you know, their resume, there isn't that, they're in their head, they're not coming from the heart. And I think that's also where that trust comes from. But I'm just so glad that you brought up this whole idea of trust, because I think this is just, it's key to what
it
is.
And you know, Louise, I'm not sure the people who you describe as being in their heads, I'm not sure that it's because they don't have the passion. It could just be because they don't know how to talk
about
the passion.
It's about communicating it. Yeah, exactly.
Because, again, you know, that person who's talking from their head is probably really good at what they do.
Yeah.
But they don't know how to talk about it. They don't know how to tell the story. They don't know how to connect to that place.
Yeah. Well, and the interesting thing, Lisa, is that sometimes, you know, and I know this from past experience myself, you know, is that you can be excellent at doing something and not feel happy about what it is that you're doing. So you want to, you know, it's that having that connection between, you know, what it is that you do so well and to be able to communicate it so well that the passion comes through, you know, to the person that you're connecting with, so that you can combine the two.
Absolutely.
And find that passion for yourself. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
But that whole trust piece, I think, is just so powerful. I'm so glad you talked about that, because we do live in a world where it's hard to trust people, it's hard to trust the organizations and the institutions around us, and we want to be able to trust the people that we're working with one-on-one or, you know, in that environment. So, you know, this is just fabulous, fabulous information. So I would imagine this is key to attracting clients then, Lisa.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely, the minute you can create trust, the minute you can really create that safe space, you know, that I call it the safe story space, because when you tell a story, you immediately are almost lured into the sense of safety and well-being. So when you can do that, then people really find you. People are much more compelled by what you do. And of course, it's not just about having the one self, okay, I'll tell my story, but it's about really having consistency in everything you do around how you show up. So, you know, and I was just talking recently to a colleague or a colleague client, somebody who's studied with me, and she was saying how she's examining all the parts of her business to see if she's being consistent about how she's telling her story. So that includes, you know, how she manages Facebook, Twitter, you know, all her social media, her website, and the way she networks. So it's really applying how you show up, you're applying your story to every part of the way you talk about what you do. And then what happens is that you start seeing that people find you, that people remember you, that they, you know, they might have heard you speak, or they might have had some interaction on social media, or they might have heard a lecture that you've given, or you might have heard somebody else talking about you, but there's something about the story stuck. Because that's what's amazing. When you're talking to people and you tell a little story, they always remember the story. They might not remember anything else, but they usually remember the story. Yeah. So if you can tell something about yourself, something about your story, then that's what people will remember. That's all the more reason to just throw in these stories all the time. You know, it's not by chance that I'm throwing in these anecdotes for you, because that's what people remember. That's what people connect to.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is just fabulous, Lisa. I've got a question for you, but I want to invite those listening to also call in with their question if they have one. So if you are listening, you called in and you're listening, just press 1 on your keypad if you'd like to ask Lisa a question. And if you are listening via the web, call in on 347-945-6963. We've got time for a question. So, but here's a question for you, Lisa, from me. I have a client who has found her story. It's a very, very compelling story. And yet she is struggling to step into owning that story and, you know, isn't applying what she really in her heart knows is the niche that she is called to serve. You know, how do you support someone in that way? I know there's obviously some fear or some mindset piece going on there, but I'd love to hear how you might support someone in that situation.
That's interesting. Well, you know, I think that every story has a backstory. It's like the story that created the story. So you probably have to start looking into, well, what are the stories behind that? And you mentioned it yourself. I mean, what are the fears? Sometimes people fear success more than they fear failure. And sometimes people fear, if you tell a story, who's going to get, you know, what's the fallout going to be? Are people going to get hurt? Are people going to get offended? Are they exposing themselves too much? I had a just very recently had a conversation around, you know, I want to put out my story, I want to blog my story, but I'm scared to. And, you know, where does that come from? So you really have to start looking into the backstories, the stuff that's going around. And also, what happened in the past when she told her story, or when people knew her story? Did she get a certain type of reaction? Did it push people to make certain assumptions, or is she scared that people will make certain assumptions? And then one thing that you can do that's often frees a person up is to create a version that's not maybe as complete as the one that she's discovered. So almost like a watered-down version that she can play with until she feels more comfortable and gets up her confidence.
Kind of goes back to what we're talking about, lessening the vulnerability piece.
Exactly.
Until she's,
But
I think part of it also is that whole thing about, you know, if I narrow myself according to the story, then am I going to stop myself from serving, you know, from having the opportunities to serve more people. And I think, again, it's that counterintuitive piece that you actually draw more people to you. And it's getting that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But there's also one other thing, and that is that this I take from my experience as a professional storyteller, which is that it also depends on how you tell it. So, for example, if I were telling a story about being in a situation that I felt very fearful, that I felt really scared. And if I were to stand up and say, so I walked into the room and I was absolutely terrified. I was so scared I can barely describe it. If I were to say that, those words induce a feeling of fear in me as I'm saying it. Yeah. Whereas if I were to go into the that same situation and say, so I walked into the room and my knees were shaking. I noticed that my knees were shaking and I felt shivers going up and down my back. What happens when I say that is that the audience feels the fear, but I'm just an observer describing the symptoms. So as I tell it, I'm less emotionally involved in the telling. So that's an example of really a technique because, you know, I sometimes work with people who, I work with people who've had pretty traumatic stories.
Yes.
And then it's about, well, how do you tell your traumatic experience but tell it from a place of empowerment that's not going to bring you back to the trauma as you tell it? So, and there are ways to do that. So if this person's story has any element of this feeling of vulnerability, it means she needs to figure out a way to tell it that makes her feel empowered and not vulnerable.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks so much for that because I think that will be really helpful for anyone listening who has a sense of what their story is but are struggling to perhaps step into it fully. So, you know, those are questions to ask ourselves as well, you know, if you're in that space. And I'm grateful to you for that, Lisa. We've got a couple more people who've called in. I just want to let them know, if you want to ask a question, just press 1 on your keypad and I'll know that you you want to ask Lisa a question. So just press 1 on your keypad and then I'll know. Okay, so that's fabulous. So, Lisa, how do you find telling stories to be to help with financial success? You know, what you know, how does that work?
Well, it's really about being very clear and focused on what, you know, it relates back to both the niche and the attracting clients.
Yeah.
If you're very clear about who you need to work with, if you're clear about what you can offer, if you can clear about what your value is, because it all comes down to, you know, it brings that confidence of this is what I offer people and this is why they need to work with me because of who I am and what I bring to this. And there's this whole mindset piece around your own self-worth that results in, like we said before about, you know, attracting people who couldn't afford me or can't afford you versus the people who are fully prepared to pay almost whatever price you're going to ask. Because you speak with so much more confidence and so much more clarity.
Conviction, yeah.
Puts you in a whole different place in terms of how you developed your business. And also the consistency in your messaging. So whether it is your website or your social media or the way you talk to people, that consistency brings a whole different level of professionalism to what you're doing, that people see you in a different light.
Fabulous.
Yeah,
this is
so
great.
Really,
we've got a number of people wanting to ask questions.
Oh, okay.
let's take a couple if we've got some time, so let's do that.
Sure.
You ready?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. So, hi, a caller from area code 206. Do you want to say who you are and where you're calling from and what your question is?
Well, hi, this is Elizabeth, and this is absolutely delightful, pairing two of my favorite people, Lisa and Louise, in the same time. Yeah, in the same time space. This is just delightful. And, you know, Lisa, you mentioned something just moments ago about the backstory and about, you know, vulnerabilities and telling the story in a certain way that doesn't necessarily reproduce the trauma or, you know, anything post-traumatic, but actually being able to tell it in a way with some perspective and a bit of detachment. It sounded to me like so that you could actually tell the story with grace and ease and elegance and empowerment, as you put it. Now, in your work, do you have a couple of tips about how to get there readily? Because I'll tell you, I think if someone had worked with me, it would have saved me years of therapy, you know, psychotherapeutic counseling, you know, to get to that and be at a place of empowerment. Now, I will say that I have gotten mostly there and still in terms of crafting the powerful message. So, you know, give us a few of your delectable tips on how to get there more quickly without traumatizing your client.
It's a great question, Elizabeth. Thank you for that. And the truth is that early this year I was at a really fantastic live event, a conference with a master speaker who talked about a lot of really fantastic stuff about marketing. And one of the things he said was the key is to take your most traumatic and challenging life events and talk about them in a very empowering way, and that's going to attract the most people you can possibly imagine. And then he went on to the next subject, and I was left there with my mouth open going, but he just missed, you know, my life's work. How could he do that? You know, and his event was absolutely brilliant, but it is a very, very challenging thing to do, and it is the absolute key. And okay, so let me get down to some tips. And really, the first, I think, step in trying to attempt to do this is being able to tell the full story in the worst possible way, in the most vulnerable way, not to the whole world, but to somebody.
Mm. Mm.
And it doesn't matter.
Choose that space. Hey, Lisa?
Yes.
Choose a space that's safe and with someone who you feel safe with.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
To somebody who can really, truly hear it and not judge you and help you be safe in the moment. I think that's really the first step. And very often I work with clients who they want to come up with a story that they can use, and they know that there's some stuff going on there in the past, and they don't necessarily want to, they know they're not going to ever tell that story to the public necessarily, but it's part of the process to go in there and to be able to tell that story at least once to somebody in a safe way.
Yeah.
Because
beautiful.
I cannot underestimate for a second how important it is and how healing it is to just to be able to tell the story.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Definitely the first step. And then after that is to really, I use what I call pivotal moments. And the pivotal moments are events, and literally moments, a time and a place, a very specific time and place, where either in real time or in retrospect, you have a great moment of understanding.
Yeah.
So, for example, a client of mine who describes a moment where she walked on the beach and the wind was blowing and she took off her shoes and she felt the sand ease through her toes and she sat down and watched a bird fly across the ocean and land as it tried to fish, and she had this realization that she could no longer stay with her husband, that her marriage was over. And it was that moment. Now, whether it happened really in that moment, I'm not sure, but in retrospect, it was that moment. And that's the story that she tells. And when she talks about that moment, it's you know, that's a very central moment. We all feel it. We've all walked on the beach. We've all seen this. You feel it, and you feel the absolute peace and understanding of that moment. So it's about understanding that there was a moment when you realized you're not going to take the abuse anymore, or there was a moment where you realized you're not going to take the pain anymore, or there's a moment where you realize that your healing is in your own hands. You know, there are those moments. Again, they may not have been at the moment, but they are in retrospect. And that's how you talk about your story, through those amazingly specific and descriptive moments. And when you talk about it in that way, it's a very safe place and a very safe way to look at the progression of how we've developed to get to where we are right now.
So this is Elizabeth again.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lisa,
thank
you.
We've got another caller waiting with a question, Elizabeth, so I just want to...
That's fine. I just wanted to say thank you very, very much for that very visceral description. Mm. It was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Mm.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for calling, and it was a wonderful question that you asked.
Yes, thank you, Elizabeth.
Okay, so let's just take that other caller, and then we can make sure we've got that question too. So, welcome, caller from 303. Do you want to say your name and where you're calling from and what your question is for Lisa?
Yes, this is Rose. I'm calling from Nevada. And
hi, Rose.
Actually, hi. So delighted to be listening in. This is great. Actually, the question Elizabeth asked ties right into mine. And that is, where does one start in identifying what their story actually is? And I think the tips that Lisa just gave leads to that, but I wonder if there's any more to add.
Firstly, hi, Rose, and great question. Tips how to get started. Well, I actually take people through kind of a series of worksheets of exploring and discovering where their story is about. And I ask questions like all kinds of creative questions just to get the kind of story ideas flowing. Things like, you know, what were you passionate about in your childhood and young adult years? Maybe in high school, what gave you great joy? Think about the story, a story about something you did, you used to do, and it was a youth group or a sport or something, and talk about that. And I ask questions like, you know, has there been a time in your life where you absolutely adored your job or where you had this phenomenal relationship? And to talk about that story. And what happens is through this process of looking at these moments and looking at these relationships and looking at these activities, you begin to get a picture of where these moments of passion happened. But beyond that, you'd really be surprised what happens when, you know, Rose, if I was working with you, one of the first things I'd say to you is, so tell me your story. And you'd kind of stop in your tracks and think, oh my God, where do I start? What do I tell? But you would come up with something. You would say something. You might talk about your relationships. You might talk about your education. You might talk about your career. But something would show up in the moment that I asked you, what's your story? And that's a place to start. It's as simple as that. And if I can actually give an example, which is kind of interesting, I had a client once who, when I asked her the question, so what's your story, she went away and she thought about it for a week and came back and wrote me a story. And it was very interesting. She chose to write me, you know, I ask the story completely generally to see what will show up. I don't ask, tell me the story of your career or tell me the story of your relationships or tell me the story of your business. I say, tell me your story, and people bring whatever they want. So this particular client went off and wrote this whole story about her life. She told me a very detailed part of it, and then there was a big gap, and then another detailed part of it. And what she had, what was interesting was she left out about 15 years of her life. And what was really interesting was she hadn't noticed. So clearly, the story, as we discovered over the next few months, was in the transition in and out of those 15 years and what happened in that time. That's where a lot of the story kind of came from. And it was very interesting. So, yeah, I mean, just ask yourself, what is your story? And write it down one day and see what shows up. That's a place to start.
And then also we'll see what doesn't show up.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Great. Thanks so much, Rose, for asking that question.
Yes, thank you, Rose. Great question.
Yeah, great insights there and a great question as well. And a couple of things that I ask my clients that might also help is, you know, what was the point when you felt you had a transformation, or what was a turning point in your life? And that sometimes brings up really interesting information as well. I know you've probably got tons of great things to ask your clients, Lisa, to bring this fabulous insights about yourself forward, you know, to identify your story. So. Great. Thank
you again,
Rose.
Yeah, can I actually tell another? Would it be okay if I just tell another client little story? Because it was just so beautiful. I had a client once a few years ago who told me we were working on her story and we were moving slowly. And then one day in a session, she said to me, you know, something is. I just had this memory and it's totally irrelevant, but I wanted to tell you anyway this little story. So I said, sure. And she said, well, when I was a child, I lived in this big, dark city, and I had this incredible knack of finding shiny glass, all different colors, all over the city, and I used to collect them. Now, previously to this, she told me that she was working as a coach, and she had her coaching practice was about helping people discover their brilliance. So she goes on to tell me the story about how she used to find these pieces of glass and she would collect them and she put them in a little jar in a drawer in her bedroom and the jar over the years filled up until finally she got to high school. She started making these beautiful collages out of all the pieces of stone and glass that she collected in the city of all places. And she said, you know, I don't know why I wanted to tell you that, but I just remembered it. I just remembered the story. And I said to her, you know, don't you realize you've just told me the main story of who you are? And she's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, that's what you do with people now. You find those pieces of shiny glass, you know, you find those pieces of brilliance in them, and you help them discover it for themselves. And she, you know, she just couldn't believe it. But, you know, that was absolutely it. So this story, this little thing that she thought was nothing, was actually such a key to who she was, such a key to how she was doing, you know, business and creating a whole business out of what she, of the way she coached.
That's amazing. How beautiful, Lisa. That's fabulous. I hope, are you okay to go a few more minutes? Lisa, I know we're a little over, but just want to check.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah,
okay.
No,
we've got one more question, and I'd love to take that if we have a little bit more time. Great.
Absolutely.
That. Thanks, Rose, for your question again. And Elizabeth says in the chat room, Lisa, thank you again for Lisa for answering her question so beautifully.
Oh.
Okay, let's. Okay, so welcome, area code 510. Who's calling in and what's your question?
Yes, hi. This is Camille calling from California. And hi, thank you for doing this show. I have often found where people, as an icebreaker in the United States, they will approach with a question, so what's your story? And what they are asking in that moment, they don't really want to know what it is that you value or what you love to do, what you're passionate or creative about. They want to know, well, what is your job? And, yeah, it's nothing to do with creativity or passion or anything that makes you feel joy. It's like, well, your story is your job. Your job is your story. Which is a tragedy because our job does not define us.
Yeah.
Yes. So I really didn't have a question, just a comment that what I'm hearing, it just kind of clicked and helped me to remember hearing those things, because that is the one of those questions, if not the main question, that I makes my skin crawl. It really unnerves me because it's kind of like, well, what's my story? None of your business. But if you start to tell a person who is less evolved what it is that brings you the most satisfaction and fulfillment, chances are they don't know what you're talking about or how to take it. That's what I've noticed.
Well, it's an interesting, comment, and I do think that there are certain kind of connections that people make with storytelling that are negative. So, for example, some people say, well, if you tell a story, you're immediately not telling the truth, whereas I believe that stories are the truth, always, 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 because there's truth in there somewhere. If you ask a storyteller, is the story true, they'll always say yes, and the trick is for you to find out what bits of it are true. but I do actually believe that stories are true. And if somebody said to me in some kind of derogatory way, you know, what's your story, I'd probably say, oh, well, I love Cinderella, or I love, you know, Goldilocks and the Three Bears. You know, I'd probably joke it off that way and then say, you know,
that's
what exactly
awesome.
Do you want to know? Do you want to know my job, or do you want to know who I am?
Right.
Yeah, that would probably be my response. Or I'd launch
into
some kind of a fairy tale, you know,
that's
just
awesome.
Just to kind of change the approach. But you know, there is a whole school of thought that believes that when you're working with people and they start getting into their stories, you should get them out of their stories so you can get to the real issue. And I just don't believe that. I think that their stories are the real issue. People are telling stories for a certain reason. So you need to figure out what is their story and why they always see themselves as a victim, or why they always see themselves as powerful, or why they always see themselves as weak. You know, it's really about understanding what, you know, where they're at and what the story is. It's got so much information. So it's all about the story.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And there's no shame in being honest.
Yes, and thank you so much for asking that question, Camille.
You're very welcome.
I love that. And it's kind of interesting, don't you think, Lisa, because if you got asked that question, you know, what's your story, with that tone of, you know, I'm not really that interested, but you responded with the truth of what your story was, you know, how that might change and shift the attitude of that person, for one. And then secondly,
yeah.
you know, the other question to ask yourself is, am I in the right group of people to be attracting my ideal client, if that's
Absolutely.
The response I'm getting from the people I'm talking to?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like people run into you and they say, hey, how you doing? You think they really want to know? They probably don't want to know. So, you know,
right.
they're not people you're going to actually tell them how you're doing. But if somebody, you know, as you say,
right
it's all about... Yeah, in the right environment with the right audience. It's about avoiding the elevator pitch that sounds like somebody else made it up for you and you don't even believe it. It's about talking from a place of authenticity that means something that isn't stressful. Because, you know, one of the reasons that we associate marketing and sales with stress is because we're forced to do things we don't feel comfortable with. But when you're just telling a story that you know is compelling and you know attracts people and you know connects with people, then it stops being stressful. And that's what's really beautiful, because then you know, you start really having those right connections, the connections that result in growing your business and in working with the right kinds of people.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you again, Camille, for asking that question. And,
you're very welcome.
Great. It's certainly an interesting take on this whole, you know, conversational story. So, yeah. Great. Well, this has just been fabulous, Lisa. I'm so glad that we had a chance to talk about this. I know that you have an e-book that might be of interest to our listeners. Do you want to share about what the ebook is, and then I'll share the URL to get that.
Yeah, absolutely. The ebook is called Using Stories to Get Great Clients, and it's really those first few steps of how to go about attracting clients through your own authentic story. So it's kind of like a step by step. And so it's kind of really the introductory of how this stuff works. So I'd be
fabulous.
Delighted.
Well, I know people out there who have been asking these questions are going to be champing at the bit to find out what you've written in that little ebook. So I just want to give the URL out to everyone listening. If you want to get Lisa's Using Stories to Get Great Clients ebook. And I believe that you're also offering a free 30-minute breakthrough session as well, Lisa. So, you know, if you want to take advantage of either of those, you can go to budurl.com/story-ebook. So that's http://the normal. budurl.com, that's budurl.com/story-ebook. Okay, wow. So, Lisa, thanks so much for going over time with us. And I think the final thing I'd like to ask you is, you know, what your final nugget is for our listeners before I share you know, something that I'd like them to know that's coming up before we finish
okay.
the show. So what's your final
well,
word, your golden nugget that you want everyone to leave with today?
Actually, my golden nugget is a little story, if that's okay.
Oh, wonderful.
So there was once a king who offered a prize to the artist who could paint the best picture of peace. He was fascinated by the concept of peace. And he sent out notice to the whole of the kingdom, and many artists tried. In fact, lots of people tried. And the king gathered all of the pictures at the palace, and after much deliberation, he was down to the last two, and he had to choose between them. So one picture was of a calm lake, and the lake was a perfect mirror for the peaceful mountains that towered all around it. And over the mountains there were fluffy white clouds floating in a blue sky, and everyone who saw this picture said that it was indeed the perfect picture of peace. Now the second picture also had mountains, but these mountains were rugged and bare, and there was an angry gray sky above them, and rain was falling, there was lightning, and down the side of the mountain there was a foaming waterfall tumbling down, and it didn't appear to be a peaceful place at all. But when the king looked closely, he saw that behind the waterfall there was a tiny bush growing in a rock, and inside the bush a mother bird had built her nest. And there, in the midst of the rush of angry water, the mother bird sat on her nest, and she was the perfect picture of peace. Well, the king, of course, chose the second picture because he explained peace is not only in a place where there's no noise or trouble or hard work. Peace is in the midst of things as they are, when there is calm in your heart. That's the real meaning of peace. So, Louise, thank you so much for having me as a guest on the show. Thank you. It's been a pleasure being here and a pleasure to meet with you and everybody else. So thank you.
And thank you for calling. I'm sure it's quite late where you are right now, so I just want to thank you for the time that you spent with us calling in from Israel and sharing your amazing wisdom, Lisa and Jen, today. I know that people listening today, I'm sure, are walking away with some very powerful insights. And you know, hopefully it means that we have more people serving more people and having more success in their business because of it. So I'm excited.
Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Lisa. And if you want to hang on, you're welcome to. If you want to drop off, feel free to do that as well.
Sure. Okay, thank you.
Okay. So wow, what a great show. I'm so glad that Lisa was able to join us. And I just wanted to share with everyone that we will be having a show next week. I'm just not quite sure yet who or what the topic will be, but it's always interesting and exciting. It's the only show for the whole of this year that has not been booked yet. Isn't that interesting? So I'm excited to see who that's going to be. And next year, the show platform is changing, so I'm excited to announce that to you later on and just keep your eyes and ears peeled about what that's going to be about. So I just want to share with you that coming up in December, I will be sharing 3 days of inspiration with you on 3 one-hour calls on the 28th, 29th, and 30th of December. It's called Tying the Bow on 2011 and Unwrapping 2012. And we're going to spend some time celebrating what you've accomplished in 2011. I think that's so important for us to look back on what we have accomplished. We're so hard on ourselves, I think, as solopreneurs and people in this field. So I think that's important. And then we get a chance on the second day to work on our power symbol for next year. And I love going through this spiritual piece that really helps to hone in on who you want to be and what you want your business to reflect in 2012. And then on the third day, we get to do some business planning to really understand where you're taking your focus and what you're going to be doing for the following year. And it's just amazing how the universe responds when we get clear on what path we want to follow, even if it's a loose plan. So I hope you'll be able to join us. Stay tuned for more details. If you'd like to be updated, just make sure to go to keystoclarity.com and you'll be able to sign up on the little opt-in box on the right side of the page, and you will also get your free report, the 5 critical business mistakes coaches and healing professionals starting out make and how to avoid them. And you'll also get updates then as soon as we are clear on, as soon as the information is ready for you to sign up for those three-day calls at the end of December. All right, so I'm excited to tell you about that. Have a fabulous week, everyone. I look forward to announcing who our next guest will be soon, and to your shining success always. Take care, everyone.